Before we get into this, you know, in the last few Wednesday nights, we've been talking about living the good life, and we started with the introduction. Then we started the next Wednesday night with talking about forsaking all and following Christ, how that he must increase and we must decrease. Then the next Wednesday night, we gave an example of the woman who cast in her two mites. When everyone else was given out of their abundance, she gave all that she had, and how that Jesus took note of that, and how that we should give all that we have unto Christ. But then last week, we talked about the fruit that we would produce in our lives and that would be evident in our lives when we're living that good life. So tonight we're going to look at another example here of someone that is living a good life. In Luke chapter number 10, let's begin reading with verse number 25. The Bible says, "And a certain lawyer," or an expert in the law, "stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, as we begin reading this scripture tonight, I'm not wanting to change the Word of God. I'm not wanting to change what it's saying. But let's just look at it as in the aspect that we're looking at over the past couple of Wednesday nights and maybe for a couple more. But here when he asks, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And I want us to look, what shall we do to live a good life? And some of it, as we've been doing the past couple of Wednesday nights, some of this I want to look at some attributes that will be very evident in our lives if we're living the good life, but then also what that means to live a good life. But as this lawyer stands up and he is actually testing Christ, that word tempt there is to test, and he's saying, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? See, this man is an expert in the law, and he's wanting to go back into the law, and he's wanting to see if Jesus will give an answer that contradicts or that supports the law. But we know that Jesus didn't come to do away with the law, but he came to fulfill that law and to give grace that we may inherit eternal life through salvation. So as he says, "And a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou?" So he puts the question right back to him and says, well, you're supposed to be the expert in the law, so you tell me how the law reads. So let's look in verse number 27 of what this expert in the law said. And he answered and said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." So we can see that this man obviously knew how to inherit eternal life. He knew how to live the good life. He had the recipe, and he laid it all out in verse number 27. "Love the Lord thy God with all the heart, soul, strength, mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself." So if this man knew all of this, why was he asking Jesus to give him an answer? And I think that some of it is he was wanting to see again if he could get Christ to contradict the law. And then also maybe he was looking for an out. He was looking for an easier way. And you know, we live in a day and a time where when people want to be religious, they want to be godly, if you will, but they want to find an easier way. But there is no easier way than just saying, God, I want you to have control of my life. First of all, asking him to come in and to forgive us of our sins. And then to say, God, I want you to have complete control of my life. And that is the recipe that we find in verse number 27 of loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And I want you to notice as we look in verse number 28, "And he said unto them, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live." He said, you know the answer, and you gave the answer right back to me. So if you go and you do these things, you will inherit eternal life, that you will have that good life. But look in verse number 29, he says, "But he willing to justify himself said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor?" Is that not what we do sometimes in our Christian life? We search for answers, and we're looking for God just to reveal something tremendous to us. We're looking for God just to speak through us to his word. And then when he does, we all of a sudden want to go, well, wait a minute, what about this? And we want to start making excuses or reasons that might not appeal to us, or why that might not be something that we have to do. Because as he looks at this and he says, "Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, strength, and thy neighbor as thyself," and then he says, "But wait a minute, who is my neighbor?" And it's kind of like when we pray and we ask God to give us something or to lead us or guide us, and then he does, and he goes, "But," and then we go, "But God, I didn't think he was going to lead me to that. That's not what I wanted to do." You know, we may pray and ask God to open a door or to to give us somebody that we might witness to. And then the person that he opens the door for, we're like, that's not who I was thinking about. That's not who I was wanting to witness to. Or, God, give me something that I can do. Just like how many times maybe in a church situation does somebody come and say, I want to do something for God. It doesn't matter what it is. I just want to do anything for God. And then when the church looks back and says, you know what? We really need some help cleaning the church. We really need some help maybe just checking the restrooms on Sunday as you leave, just to be sure everything's taken care of in the restrooms. There's no glory in that. Who wants to do that? And then this person that was so just wanting to do something for God, when you get, and it kind of this kind of same situation, that this guy, he says, I know the recipe, and then he says, but wait a minute, who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering, verse number 30, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. I want you to notice as we get into verse number 30, that the Bible says a certain man. There was nothing odd about this man. There was nothing strange about this man. He was just a normal old man like you and I. And as the Bible says, and a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. He didn't do anything to cause his misfortune. He was just another guy headed down a road that happened to have some bad circumstances happen in his life. That something bad happened to him as he was going on his normal everyday life. And you know, there are people that we come in contact with that they are just normal people that maybe fail in a bad circumstance. They fail on, I ain't gonna say bad luck because I don't believe in luck, but they just had some bad circumstances that happened in their life, and now all of a sudden we look down our nose at them, even though they were just normal people, that something happened in their life that changed their life. So as this man, the Bible says, and a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. He had some bad circumstances that happened in his life, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. They robbed him, they stripped him of his clothes, they threw him in the ditch, if you will, and left him there to die. And look, the Bible says in verse number 31, and by chance. Now, Christians, do we believe that anything that happens by chance? No, we don't. I believe the Bible says that a good man that steps is ordered by the Lord. I believe that everything that happens in my life is for a reason, and that God puts me in places at certain times, and that God puts people around me at certain times. I don't believe that there's anything such, no such thing as luck. I don't think there's anything such as happenstance. I believe that God knows everything that's going to happen in my life. He already knows what's going to happen to me in my tomorrows. He's prepared my tomorrows, and I just need to follow him into my tomorrows. But look, as we find this man who has come in some bad circumstances, he has been robbed, stripped, left in a ditch to die, and look what happens in verse number 31. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Now see, it wasn't chance that this priest come by. It wasn't just, it just so happened, but this priest come by for a reason. And you know what? I believe as this priest came by, and the Bible says, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. I believe that this priest just missed an opportunity to do something that God would have had him to do. And you know what? In our lives, there's nothing that happens just by chance. There's nothing that just, I got lucky or I got unlucky or whatever. I know we use the word luck sometimes, but I don't believe that there is such thing as luck in a believer's life. Now, for lost people, they need to believe in luck because what else is controlling certain circumstances in their life? But as we go from day to day, there is no such thing as luck in our life. And as the Bible says, and by chance, well, it wasn't by just some chance, but I believe that this man that was in the ditch was there, and the man that come by, this priest that come by, were there. God knew they were going to be there, and God knew what was going to take place. But the Bible says, and a certain priest came that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And you say, well, preacher, what does this have to do with living the good life? Now, we're going to get to it in just a minute. But see here, this priest, he was a very religious person. He knew all the law. He knew the word. He was one of the leaders when it come church time on Sunday mornings. Maybe not Sunday morning, but we're just going to use that for our day and time. He was the guy that when he come, everybody paid him reverence. He was the one that everybody respected. Here's the priest. And this priest, he comes by one day, and maybe even on the past service, he was telling everybody how they should take care of one another and love one another. And then here he is, as he just so happens to come by at this certain time. The Bible says, and as he passed that way, he went, and in verse number 31, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. How many times have we passed by on the other side? Have you ever been the person that when you saw someone that maybe bad circumstances have happened in their life, that maybe something bad has happened and it has changed their life in a dramatic way? They were just a regular old person, but now something has really happened in their life, and here they are, and I can't get away from this word luck tonight, and y'all know I don't believe in luck, but they're down on their luck. They're in a bad place, okay? And here we are, and God has put us in the right place at the right time, but instead of doing what we're supposed to do, what do? Sometimes, y'all don't, but sometimes I pass by on the other side. Oh, that person might be crazy. Listen, I know you have to be safe. I know you have to be smart. I'm not telling you to put yourself in a bad circumstance, but what I am telling you is that I believe there are times that we as Christians are in a certain place at a certain time for a reason and for a purpose, and we choose to pass on the other side. So let's continue reading and see what happens in verse number 32. And likewise, a Levite. Now the Levite, he was the leader of worship. This Levite, he was like, if you go back and you study, it's like if there was a totem pole of the religious leaders in the service, he was like one step down from the priest. So surely here's a man that has a need, laying in a ditch, being stripped, being beaten, left half dead. Surely to goodness, with all of these religious people coming by, somebody's going to help him. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Well, at least he did have enough common decency to go over and to look before he went to the other side, went around. Now, the Bible don't say this. I'm going to go into a little bit of, my middle name's Lee, so JLS version instead of KJV version. But in my version of this, as I tell this story and as I think about this priest that went by on the other side and this Levite that went over and he looked over at the man that had been beaten and robbed and left half dead. And as they both go by and they see what's going on, in my mind, just in my imagination, these two were headed to a meeting. These two were headed down the same. And you know what happened when they got to church that day? They sat down, they said, "Did you see that man back yonder on the side of the road that had been beat? Church, we need to pray for that man. Church, we need to," I'm telling you what, it was so sad, it was so pitiful. People had beaten him and stripped him and left him half dead over there in the ditch. And we need to really pray for them. Look, I believe there is power in prayer. No doubt, I believe it with all of my heart. But sometimes God wants us to put a little actions with our prayer. Amen? I mean, we can sit right here and pray all day for that man on the side of the road. But we had an opportunity to make a difference in his life. They had an opportunity to stop and reach out to him. But yet one of them passed on the other side. One went over and looked just to see what was going on. Now, everybody that was in church with them that day, it's my imagination, look and they say, well, these two guys, they're living the good life. One of them's a religious leader. One of them is the worship leader, if you will, there at church. And these two guys, they're living the good life. They're close to God. Man, they know all the laws. They know all of the scriptures. Man, these two guys. And just hours before, they walked on the other side or they looked in and seen how bad the situation was, and went on their way. Look, I would like tonight to sit here and go, I cannot believe that these men did that. I would like to just rip them apart and say there's no way in the world that they should have done that. I'd like to just condemn them. But you know what? I have been that priest and that Levite before in my life. I have been the one that passed by on the other side, or the one that went to look and see how bad it was, and then passed by on the other side. But let's continue reading. Verse number 33. But a certain Samaritan. Now we know, or we can draw the conclusion from the scripture, because the Bible says that this man was headed from Jerusalem to Jericho, that this was a Jewish man that had been beaten, stripped, and left half dead. And the Bible tells us in verse number 33, but a certain Samaritan, and Samaritans and Jewish people were bitter enemies. They wouldn't even speak to each other. So now here comes down the road a Samaritan. And this Samaritan should have been one that could have looked over there and said, you got what you deserve. You're my enemy. But the Bible tells us, it says, but a certain Samaritan, in verse number 33, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the, you notice he didn't just say, hey, that's somebody else's problem. He didn't pass by on the other side. He didn't go over and look and see how bad it was and decide to keep going. But the Bible tells us that he went over and started taking care of him. And when he seen how bad he was, he put him on his own donkey and took him back to the inn and said, here, I can no longer take care of you. I've got to go on. So verse number 34, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. He said, now, look, I got to keep going wherever I'm going. I got to keep going. But I want you to take care of him. I want you to get him back to health. And when I come back by, if you've spent any more money, I will continue to pay. And I will pay you back for whatever you spent. This Samaritan that should have been able to look and say, that's my enemy. That's somebody I'm not even supposed to talk to. He was the one that had compassion. He went over and doctored on him a little bit. He took him back to the inn. And he said, here, please take care of him. And when I come back, I'll pay you if you spend any more on him. Now, as we look at this tonight and we think about this man that was laying there in that ditch, he didn't ask to be where he was at. And there are people that we pass by every day that didn't ask to be where they're at. They're just there, and they need somebody to have compassion on them. Church, if we as Christian people don't have compassion, you know what's sad? Is sometimes the world does have more compassion on people than we do. Sometimes the world will reach out before we do. Because if we're not careful, we become judgmental and we begin to think, well, what is he doing there in that ditch? What did he do to get himself there? When the truth of the matter is that one life circumstance could put you and I in that same boat at any time in our life. When one bad circumstance could put us in that same boat that these people are in. And some of the ones that even made those decisions. Let me ask you something tonight. Have you ever made a decision that you should have, that you deserved to get caught, that you deserved punishment, that you deserved to be in a bad situation, but for whatever reason you didn't get caught, you didn't get punished, you didn't get what you should have had, you didn't get the penalty for that crime or that sin or whatever, but yet we want to look down our nose at people who do? Amen. There are people, it seems like I knew, that I went to school with that could get by with anything. And then there were people who got caught at everything. And if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves being judgmental, passing by people who really did the same thing we did. They just got caught and we never did. So here this guy is. He says, take care of him. When I come back, I'll pay you anything else that you have spent. Let's look in verse number 36. He says, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? So as Jesus looks at this, and as this man has asked him, yeah, Lord, I know the Bible, or I'm supposed to love the Lord with all my mind, strength, heart, soul, and love my neighbor as myself. And then this guy throws at him, well, who's my neighbor? Jesus gives him this story. And then he looks at him and says, now, which of these three, this priest, this Levite, or this Samaritan, which of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? I want you to notice how the question changed. I want you to notice that when this lawyer was trying to trap Jesus or trick Jesus or test Jesus, however you want to look at it, when he was trying to test Jesus and he says, I want you to tell me who is my neighbor, I want you to notice the question that Jesus asks back to him. He says, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him? See, the lawyer was worried about who was supposed to be considered his neighbor instead of wondering who he could be neighborly to. See, we need to be really careful in our lives. We need not to miss an opportunity. Instead of always wondering about who is my neighbor and who am I supposed to, or who am I accountable to, instead wonder who can I have compassion for. See, if we want to get to where we want to live the good life, when we want to live a life that points to Jesus Christ and that gives God glory, I think that we'll get to a place and a time in our life when it's not about what anybody else can do for us, but about the gift that we have that we can share with someone else. Now here it just so happened to be that it was maybe a little bit of a financial gift that he could give because this man needed care. It might have been some time that he could take out of his day and compassion that he could give unto this man who had been beaten and left for dead. But church, we have a ton of gifts that we can give to other people, and the most of all being the gift of salvation that this lost and dying world needs to hear about, that people need to know that Jesus Christ loves them, that people need to know that somebody cared for them so much that no matter what they've done or no matter what they've thought or no matter what they may be guilty of, that Jesus Christ loves them and gave his life for them. But yet, we want to pass by on the other side. When we get to where we're living the good life, we won't be asking, well, who is my neighbor? But we'll be asking, who can I be a neighbor to? We'll be looking for an opportunity to reach out to someone and have compassion. I know I've said this a couple of different times, maybe especially on Wednesday night. It seems like that's when we get into these discussions. I say discussions, but this is sort of a one-way discussion, ain't it? It sort of seems like when this comes up. But I've been the person that when somebody walks up to you on the outside of Food Line, let's just be honest, first of all, we've got to where we go on the defense first thing nowadays, don't we? Trying to figure out whether this person's crazy or not. Y'all are holy. Y'all don't do that. Okay. So I'm by myself. So when somebody walks up to me that I don't know outside of Food Line, the first thing I go is, how hard can I hit them with this gallon of milk? That's what I'm thinking. Okay, and then if I figure out that they're not crazy and maybe they're just in need, I try to start figuring out a way out of the conversation. You ever been the one that went into Food Line one way and you saw somebody sitting there, and even though you're parked on this side, when you come out, you go out so you can go around? Anybody done it? Come on. Come on. Yeah. We've all been guilty. I won't say we've all. I've been guilty of that. And instead, when I want to get to where, you know what, maybe it's not $5 that you have in your pocket. Maybe it's not that you have something that they're wanting from you. But maybe it's that you've got something that you need to give them, that being Jesus Christ. You know, we are so quick. I am so quick to start, what did they do to get theirself there? I've made the statement before, they made their bed, now they can lay in it. That's a lot of love, ain't it? A lot of love and compassion in that. What if Jesus did that to me every time that I messed up? You done it, now wallow in it. I'd be in a world of hurt. But you know what? If I want to get to the place where I'm living the good life and when God can use me, again, I'm not telling you to be unsafe. I'm not telling you to go in blind and just throw all caution out the window. But what I'm saying is every now and again, it may not be $5 that you need to give somebody. You may need to go over, sit on the bench beside of them and say, what's your name? Who are you? I'm Josh. I don't know why you're in the shape you're in. Don't matter. But do you know Jesus Christ? Man, you might give them. You remember we were talking about the beggar at the beautiful gate. He thought he was asking for money when he really got a boatload of Jesus there at the beautiful gate. We're carrying around something, but so many times, I don't live the good life. I don't use the gift that God has given me. And you say, well, what is that? Well, first of all, I've got a mouth that I can talk. I've got health that I can walk around. and I have Jesus Christ that I need to be sharing with everybody, but yet I want to keep it to myself unless people meet a certain criteria. If they're clean enough, if they don't stink, come on now, church. That's where we're at, ain't it? If they meet certain criteria, then we might tell them about Jesus. But I want to tell you something. The worst situation that you can think of, Jesus Christ died for that person too. And let's go spiritually minded for just a second. The sin that was in my life made me more filthy than the most filthy person that we'll ever bump into. And yet Jesus gave his life for me. When I get to where I want to live the good life, when I want to let God shine in my heart and in my life like I say I do on Sunday mornings, I won't just be here requesting prayer. I won't just be here saying, y'all need to. But what I say on Sunday morning will line up with what I do Monday through Saturday too. That's when I'll know that I'm living the good life. Don't have anything to do with financial gain or success or anything else. It's that I know that Jesus Christ saved my soul. He left me here for a purpose to give God glory, point others to the cross. Now, are we willing to live the good life? Don't pass by. Don't be the one to look in. Be the one to have compassion. Let's pray, church. Lord, I thank you and I praise you for all that you do. God, I shouldn't even talk this lesson tonight. Somebody else needs to teach this and I need to listen. God, I need to let you speak to my heart, because so many times I let my schedule, I let different things come in my way of living the good life and sharing Jesus Christ with someone else. God, sometimes, let's just put it like it is, we'd be guilty of stopping and helping an animal on the side of the road before we'd help another human come to know Jesus Christ. And God, I pray that you'll help me with that. God, I pray that you'll give me love and compassion the way that I should. God, help me to listen for your voice. God, I don't believe that anything happens in my life by chance. And God, when you put me in a certain place at a certain time, God, I pray that you'll help me to be the Christian that I say that I am. And in Jesus' name that I pray, amen.